Well, we're looking at soft answers to tough questions. Soft answers because we love our enemies. The tough questions as we conclude, this is the penultimate lesson. You know that word? Next to last. Next to last. So I have one more after this. That's the meaning of next to last. Tough questions about Christianity. And God will accept me if I have lived a good life. Try to say that with all confidence. In the early 60s, a song came out by J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers entitled The Last Kiss. The song is about a couple out on a date, get into a car accident. The girl dies in the boyfriend's arms. He mourns her death singing, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good so I can see my baby when I leave this world. The song sums up the attitude of a lot of people. They think that if they can live a good life, if the good works they do outweigh the bad, then they will have earned their way to heaven. On the walls in Egypt, one of the gods, Anubis or somebody, is holding a scale, and the good weighed against the bad, depicting whether you can go on to whatever heaven they were believing in. This actually is a universal religious concept, but it is man-made and not at all God's plan. World religions, simple and complex, have taken this thought, then mixed it with rituals and priests, and come out with just variations on the same thing. It is a desire to make of ourselves something worthy of salvation. Do you see that? Living the good life is doing your best. You made it. You conquered. See, I've mentioned this before. Recently, I've noticed on several television shows where the concept of believing in redemption was mentioned. But what they meant was, you've had a bad past, but what you're doing now, good things, that'll make up for it, and then you will be redeemed. You have redeemed yourself. Always a person doing something to show their worthiness. But this is the wrong path. I get lost easily. Very often it starts out by taking the wrong path. Wrong path doesn't take you to the right place. God in His love and mercy has given us the Bible to reveal that doing good works cannot lead us to heaven. Let me show you three problems. This is just logically. The definition of good works. You're going to do good works? What are those? The definition of good works changes with the culture, changes with the time of history, even in the same culture, and it changes with the individual person. See, in matter of fact, only God is allowed to define what good is. See, you and I may disagree on what good is and what bad is. Generally, how it affects me. Okay? How it affects you. But God's the only one who can say, this is good, this is bad. Second problem, the worth of good works seems to be overestimated. Because usually good works are practically, in practice, defined as doing less evil or stopping my bad habits. I've used the illustration before that if I'm borrowing $1,000 a week from Jerry, and then I get convicted about this, and I come to him and I say, I've been doing this for a year now, and I know I owe you a lot, but here's the good news. I've vowed off borrowing any more, so we'll call it even. Yeah, you forgot about that $52,000 that you already owe me, you see. We're already in a debt. and stopping sinning, if you could, does not erase what was done. The third problem, the purchasing procedure of good works for salvation is insulting to God and entirely a false procedure. I read a long time ago a story, and I don't know whether it's actually true or not, but it's a really good story and good illustration, about a man who was a missionary to South Sea Islands, and was there for a long time, health and other age and so on. He was retiring, he was going back home, going to be leaving. He was a medical man as well. The old chief who had been there the whole time that he was working had never received Christ. Every time he had brought it up, salvation had been brought up to him, he said, I will do it on my own. I will make it on my own. I will not have someone else pay for me. Well, the time came as he saw this old friend leaving that and realized all that he had done to help his people through these years, that he came to him and he said, I have a gift for you. And he handed him a rough handmade box. He opened up the box, and in it was a black pearl, very, very rare, perfect. And the missionary knew the story. The chief's son was one of the great divers, big, strong, handsome, and hold his breath, going down, down, down. One time when he had gone down farther than anyone else had been able to go, he saw in the clear water, well below him, just a glimpse of this black pearl. So he kind of went into training. Some of the older men said, don't do it. The depth itself is enough to hurt you. But he determined that he would try. And so the time came, and they went out in their little boats, and they went to that area. He took his deep, deep, deep breaths and went in. He was gone for a long time, and some of the men began to say, he's been down too long. But then they saw him coming back up, and he broke through the water. His arm came up into the boat, and he died. His lungs had been ruptured. But in his hand was this black pearl. The missionary looked at it and he said, this is truly beautiful. Here, I think I have some money in my pocket. Let me pay you for it. The chief said, you can't pay for it. He said, well, I'll wire home. I have some savings. And he says, you don't understand. There's no money that you could come up with that would be a proper exchange for this. And besides that, it cost my son's life. The missionary said, yes, I know. I wanted you to see how God felt when you said you would pay for your salvation yourself. If our eternal salvation was on the basis of works and we could earn it successfully, then God would be our debtor. The sacrifice of Christ would have been in vain, unnecessary. He would owe us something. But that's not the case. Romans 4, 1-3. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, to boast, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The doing of good works is based on the concept of law-keeping. Reformed theology tells us that in the beginning God made a covenant of works with Adam and Eve. By continually doing good works, they could live, but by choosing to disobey, they would die. But the test that God gave Adam and Eve was not a test of good works, but of love relationship. In love, God warned them that eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would cause their death. And so the test was this: will they trust God and obey? Or will they suspect God of keeping something pleasant from them and take things into their own hands? And that's what sin does for us. That's what Satan tempts us. Adam and Eve believed Satan, disbelieved God, and broke the relationship test. They were plunged into the agonies of life, alienated from God, alienated from His great blessings. You and I were born into that damaged family. Doing good works does not change our relationship with God. See, it's like doing good works would change who your mother and father are. We are simply sinful people doing better or worse things. That's all we are. The path of good works does not lead to heaven, does not lead to salvation. It does not lead to God. Consider the absolute ruling of the Bible. Romans 9, 31, 32. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They didn't get there. They were on a path, but they didn't get there. Why? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. So it's the wrong path. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They wanted to do it themselves. They wanted to have the credit. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now that's absolute, you see. You can't get there on that path. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we, Jews, have believed in Jesus Christ rather than go by works, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For, here's the principle, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It can't happen that way. Galatians 3:10. For as many are of the works of the law, see, are you of the works of the law or are you of the grace of God? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Well, you say, but that doesn't make any sense. Why would God give the law and that not be a path to salvation? Well, he actually made it quite clear. God's standard of righteousness, the law, was given to man so that he would despair of gaining a relationship with God by doing good works. Galatians 3:19a, wherefore then serveth the law? Why did he give it? It was added because of transgressions. Very specific. So, that's the wrong path. What is the right path? Man's problem is not his relative value by seeming good works. Man's problem is his love relationship with God. We cannot earn this relationship. And God has already done everything for us, make it available. You see, it wasn't even available because of sin until Christ enacted the new covenant by being the sacrifice, then by taking the blood before God, and then the sending of the Holy Spirit. All of that was necessary before we could be saved. John 6:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. You're talking about works. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the whole point of doing the works. You get to boast. Titus 3:5, not by works even of righteousness. See, not by good works. That's what works of righteousness are, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration, the new birth, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is what happens after you believe, as you believe. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. The work of law, the path of law keeping, doesn't get you there. It's impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the only path to a love relationship with God is the one he planned, even before he created man. This is the new covenant. It demanded the blood sacrifice of no less than God's own beloved Son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way it could happen. John 3:16 explains this to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is the working of the new covenant. That whosoever believeth in him, this is the receiving of the love relationship, should not perish but have everlasting life. There's no works in there except the works of God and of Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only path. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I said that it happened before man was created, Ephesians 1:4 and 5, 5a, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, that's the love relationship, by Jesus Christ to himself. That was the predestined work, the new covenant. So, trust me in this, it's never your opinion of your driving skills that gives you a driver's license. It is never your opinion of your medical skills that gives you a medical license. Aren't you glad? Good works are merely your opinion of some actions compared to other actions. Now, you may be able to judge better or worse, you see. But you are not able to judge what God will consider good and acceptable or evil and unacceptable. So your whole claim to just go by good works, that'll be enough. You're talking about something you don't understand. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You notice the plural word righteousnesses? Albert Barnes explains, the plural form is used to denote the deeds which they had performed, meaning that pollution extended to every individual thing of the numerous acts that they have done. And he calls them the righteousness, not just works, but the righteousnesses. The sense is that all their prayers and sacrifices and alms, the charitable giving, and praises were mingled with pollution. Pollution right out of their heart. And they were unworthy only of deep detestation and abhorrence. Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. You notice in this that it is not a range of good and evil works that God is interested in, but who you are. At the day of judgment, good works without a love relationship will not be enough. It's Ethan. He's been sent on a mission. Matthew 7, 22 to 23. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, notice what their deeds are. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Aren't you impressed? Then will I profess unto them, here's the problem, I never knew you. We don't have a love relationship. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, even the righteousnesses listed above are filthy rags. So, God will accept me if I've lived a good life, only if you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior.